God's word for you, 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 to 24. We'll start with verses 20 to 22. Everyone should continue in the station in life he had when he was called. Were you a slave when called? Do not be concerned, but if you can gain your freedom, take advantage of that. For the slave who was called to be in the Lord is the Lord's free man. Likewise, he who was free when he was called is a slave of Christ. Now, Paul's thoughts move to one possible station in life that a person might want to change: slavery. In the Bible, slavery is a different condition than the two forms we're more familiar with today, that is, the slave trade of kidnapped Africans between the 15th and 19th centuries, and the modern sex trafficking slave trade that was present in the 20th century, but is, if anything, more commonplace today. Attractive white women must be especially careful when traveling overseas, and there are many accounts of children being kidnapped and then lied to about it right in our own cities. When I was a child, there was a certain week when my mother told me I could not walk the streets of our village or go to a friend's house or play in our front yard. I found out later that there was a scare then about kidnapping and that she was looking out for me. To this day, I remember the feeling of my love for my mom growing deeper and closer that week, even though she was doing what I hope any parent would do. Well, in the Bible, slavery was generally arrived at either by losing a battle or by going into debt. And God set down laws about these things through Moses in Exodus 21 and even protected the worship life of slaves by forbidding work on the Sabbath for slaves in Exodus 23. If a slave became a Christian, then Paul says, if you can become free, go ahead and do that. But remember that you are a Christian when you do. More than this, if a slave were being hindered from his Christian belief or forced to associate with the master in a sinful act or a sinful lifestyle, like as thieves or pirates or counterfeiters or vigilantes or militia or what have you, then the slave should feel free to run away and escape by whatever means were possible without being afraid of breaking the fourth commandment. On the other hand, those terrible modern, that is, present-day forms of slavery are, without exception, vile, wrong, sinful, execrable, and do not bind the slave to obedience, except maybe to save her life, or honesty, or other virtues. One's behavior against such a slave owner, or slaver, that is, a kidnapper, becomes tantamount, that is the same as organizing and carrying out a feint or deception in warfare, like David does in 1 Samuel 21:13 and 2 Samuel 5:22. And the same is true of the self-defense a girl may use against a rapist. She is free to do to him whatever is possible to escape, if she can. And see also Deuteronomy 22. But if you can be released from slavery, or if you can escape, or even trick your captor into letting you go, then by all means, go. An ancient difficulty with this passage is that Paul's Greek text could possibly be translated in the opposite way. That is, as the today's English version has it in their footnote, even if you have a chance to become a free man, choose rather to make the best of your condition as a slave. Well, this is referred to by translators as the slavery translation, as opposed to the freedom translation. The problem is Paul's free Greek style, and I think the TEV goes a little bit too far there. But Paul's Greek says more literally, if you can become free, rather make use of it. But that begs the question, make use of what? The opportunity to become free or one's own slavery? The slavery translation would have us apply the possibility that a slave might hope to, I suppose, convert the slave master into the faith, but this is countered by at least three things. First, verse 23 below. Second, what Paul said to Christian spouses when the unbeliever departed and back in chapter 7, verse 15, and 3, by the provision God makes for runaway slaves in the law, and the example of consistently good treatment given to runaway slaves by the godly patriarchs, as for example in 1 Samuel 30, verses 13 to 15. Therefore, I have not even included the slavery translation as a footnote in the translation of this text. Let's move on to verses 23-24. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. So, brothers, let each person remain before God in the station in life he was when he was called. Here, Paul parallels the way he talked about divorce and about circumcision. Don't do the one and don't do the other on account of your new conversion to Christianity. Paul hardly needs to say don't become a slave, but it is the natural follow-up to don't seek freedom unless it presents itself in verse 21. Now, when Paul says you were bought at a price, he means that Christ paid the price for us with his own blood. We are, as the New Testament authors love to say, often in the very first verse of a letter, slaves of Jesus Christ. Look at the way Romans and Titus and James and Jude and Revelation all begin. He bought us from our debt of sin and punishment, and he set us free even from the demands of the law. In the world, these things do not affect our other obligations. One still has to pay bills and fix the roof and buy food and so on. But before God, no law binds us. Our faith in Christ frees us from all sin and debt before God. And so we remain in our station in life. Mother, teacher, accountant, baker, musician, editor. As the prophet Samuel said, do whatever your hand finds to do, for God is with you. In Christ, I'm Pastor Tim Smith. This is God's Word for you.